Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, a president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus from York College, City University of New York, welcoming you to this February 8th Fun Drive edition, two-hour Fun Drive edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM. That's WBAI on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's right, the York College radio community is plugged in. And yes, this is the first time I've done an expanded edition for a while. Our topic today is going to be the topic and the premium are the same. White nationalism, the enemy of black nationalism. Very shortly, I'll be joined by Dr. Leonard Jeffries. He needs no introduction. He is our master teacher, global Pan-Africanist indeed. And Anthony Broder, who is the founder and director of Cultural Resources and the ASA Restoration Project, which is an extraordinary project. They'll be joining me in this conversation. But before I do that, I simply want to talk about safety. And I really enjoyed tuning into a little of the previous program because they were talking about all of the kind of COVID requirements and safety mechanisms and so forth and giving instructions about how to be safe. So we simply want to join in that call, as I do every week, talking about safety. Mask up. That's right. Put your mask on. I'm glad people are saying, even if you're you have a vaccination, you should still wear a mask. The other reason why that's important is so we don't get into an argument about who has a mask and who doesn't have a mask. Let's see, everybody just mask up. And, of course, put a priority on getting those vaccinations and care for self, family, and your neighbors. Let's make this a community project where we're looking after each other. Speaking of community, again, we're so honored and delighted that WBAI is partnering with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century's Community Cares Listening Line, the Institute of the Black World Black Family Summit's Community Cares Listening Line. People are responding, which is a good thing. People are responding by calling, and people who have, you know, anxiety, concerns, issues are taking place, domestic violence, alcoholism, feeling suicidal, any of those things, or you just want to talk to somebody in these trying times. It's confidential, strictly confidential and anonymous. Nobody's recording your name, and we're not the CIA. We ain't doing none of that crazy stuff. We just want to be helpful in that regard and to our community. And so the number to call is 877-327-6677, the Community Cares Listening Line, the Institute of the Black World 21st Century's Black Family Summit, 877-327-6677. And so we hope you'll call that line. Oh, unfortunately, I have another announcement I need to squeeze in here. A horrific crisis has erupted in the Tigray region of Ethiopia. Some of you have been reading about it. I mean, these people are just being rounded up and harassed and killed and jailed. And it's really a terrible situation that is taking place in the Tigray region, which is supposed to be a part of like an autonomous region within Ethiopia, within its decentralized government. And so there are a number of people coming together, supported by the United Africa Congress and the Pan-African Unity Dialogue, for a big demonstration to protest. The headline of the press release says, Tri-State Tigray Community Protest on this coming Thursday, February 11th, against the Ethiopian government's war on the Tigray region and war crimes committed against the Tigrayan people. And we've been following that development closely. Institute of the Black World 21st Century, particularly through the Pan-African Unity Dialogue, as well as with our allies and friends with the United Africa Congress. That demonstration will be at the UN Plaza, and it will be on this coming Thursday, 10 o'clock a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. And you can contact the email address. I wish I had a phone number, but you can contact the Tri-State Tigaroo.org. That's the email. That's T-R-I-T. Let me go again. That's T-R-I-S-T-A-T-E. That's the tri-state. TEGARU.org. I'll repeat that later in the show because I really, really, really want people to be able to get on, come out and get the education and do what's necessary indeed to do what's necessary in order to make sure that the kinds of issues that are going down, the atrocities that are going down, can be mitigated, if you will. So again, we just encouraging people to be safe out there. Well, our show today is a show in which we are talking about this issue of white nationalism. White nationalism. And of course, Don Henry Clark, Dr. John Henry Clark, what an incredible master teacher he was. And he lives on through many of his disciples, many of the people who were mentored by him, who sat at his feet and carry on his legacy. So Dr. Clark's assessment of racism and white supremacy is what we want to talk about, because perhaps it may help us, his analysis may help us deal with the root causes of the current crisis, its impact on people of African descent in the U.S. and globally, and how we might act to defend ourselves against the what we might call the multiplicity of malignancies of white nationalism. White nationalism, it is very, very much on display these days. We see it happening everywhere across the world. So I think we have Dr. Leonard Jeffries on the line. We're trying to connect with Tony Broder. We have two numbers for them, both of which should be tried. He should be standing by. But I understand we do have our master teacher online, Dr. Leonard Jeffries. Welcome to Vantage Point.
Well, certainly, it's always a pleasure for me to be connected to Dr. Ron Daniels and his great work. And so I'm glad after I cleared off the ice off my steps, I was able it just turned into a cake of ice. But certainly anything dealing with Dr. John Henry Clark and the work that he did with so many of us is important. And any part of his tradition that can be obtained, a book or tape, should be a part of anybody's library dealing with this question of white nationalism and white supremacy, and right. Also the anecdote to much of the difficulty we have relates to Pan-Africanism, and certainly he was beyond a doubt one of the great leaders in terms of the Pan-African consciousness that allows us to deal with analyzing white supremacy and white nationalism, and also preparing ourselves with the anecdote, which would be Pan-Africanism or black nationalism.
Right. We're glad that you are sharing these thoughts, because we do have, the premium is going to be for today, it's white nationalism, enemy of black nationalism. We'll be playing an excerpt of that in a few minutes. And our ask is $100. That's $100 for that premium. It is a three CDs, a lot of Dr. John Henry Clark. And by the way, you can never get enough of Dr. John Henry Clark. Our goal for the day is we want to raise $3,000 today, $3,000 to sustain and build and strengthen WBAI. That's the purpose of our program today. But we're going to have a conversation as we're beginning it now with Dr. Leonard Jeffries, and hopefully shortly Anthony Broder, about the issue of black nationalism, using Dr. John Henry Clark's perspectives and views as a context, because it's not just about what was said in the past. The value is of what Dr. John Henry Clark had to say in relation, that is now, we're now seeing the manifestations of it, it would appear, in terms of current circumstances. And Dr. J, you've already began to touch on that. Before we listen to a clip from Dr. Clark, talk to us a bit about how his lectures on racism and white nationalism How does his analysis really, how is it instructive, in fact, in terms of what we see unfolding today? I mean, tell us sort of about how he approached this issue.
Well, he was a blessed youngster coming out of the deep South, birthed in Alabama, raising in Georgia. And so he began to, at an early age, appreciate education and understanding the world. And when he did get a chance to come to New York, he had a chance to contact Arturo Schomburg, who was the person who organized the Schomburg Library Center. And one of the things he used to tell us was that Schomburg said, if you want to find the history of your people, make sure you know the history of others. And that was the broad perspective that he laid down for us, that you can concentrate on who and what you are, but you're dealing in a world, and so you need to also know other people's cultures and civilization. And so when he took us to Los Angeles in 1969, we started the Black Studies Movement. In 1968, Dr. Clark took us to Los Angeles to challenge the African Studies Association, which was dealing with Africa and the world in relationship to Africa, but they did not have any serious population of blacks among them. They had a few outstanding brothers from South Africa and one of my mentors, Dr. Elliot Skinner. But you talked about hundreds of scholars that were, they were given the mission of relating to Africa. And so we went and made our demands to be a part of the association. And that they hesitated in 68, and then they said come back in 69, Montreal in 69. We did go back, and here a quiet, a gentle spirit, a serious scholar, Dr. Clark, led us to raise real serious questions about the mission of looking at the history of Africa and relating it to the history of the European. And right. So white nationalism had to be a part of our mission, because we saw it happen to the very organization that was responsible for carrying out the history of black folk, but it was wrapped around this whole process of white nationalism.
Right.
So he, for example, led us in a couple of years later, in 1972, to a conference on the Manding people in West Africa, Mali and Guinea and whatnot. And but one of the first persons he took us to meet at that conference, out of the side of the regular organizations, was a white scholar, Basil Davidson.
Basil Davidson,
who
yes.
had spent his life helping us to analyze the relationship of black folk and white folk. And his first book was Mother Africa, The Black Mother. And then eventually that became his relationship of black folk to the real history. And so
right.
Dr. Clark, same, just as Schomburg had told him, in pages of the history that you're looking for is in the white studies. And so Master White Studies analyze the white culture and whatnot, and then you can have right. the wherewithal to engage and struggle for the truth. And so
right.
The Lost Cities of Africa by Basil Davidson, The Questions of African Culture. So we sat at the feet of Dr. John Henry Clark, because whenever we went to see
he was the master teacher. We've been joined by Tony Anthony Broder now, and we want to give him an opportunity to join the conversation. Tony Broder, welcome to Vantage Point.
Thank you so much, my brother. Thank you so much. It's a joy to be here with two of my favorite New York brothers.
Right. Well, we can always sit at the feet of Dr. J, that's for sure. Look, before we listen to a clip from Dr. John Henry Clark, I just want to ask you, what was your relationship to Dr. Clark, and how has his work, or how did his work, or has how has his work influenced you? Because you've become certainly one of our great African-centered scholars, and we're going to talk a bit about some of your work in a moment, but just how did that develop?
Well, I first met Dr. Clark 40 years ago this month. He spoke in Washington, D.C., and he literally not only blew my mind, he freed my mind. I fell in love with him. I fell in love with his mastery of knowledge of African history and culture and the means by which he delivered this information in such a casual, you know, all-consuming manner. And I just loved him as a historian. I loved him as a man, and I grew to appreciate him as a father figure. He had a profound impact on my life. It was through Dr. Clark that I met Dr. Jeffries and so many other scholars. And one of the greatest honors that Dr. Clark bestowed upon me was when he wrote the introduction to my second book, Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization.
Oh, yes.
And just having his confirmation of my work has made me a better man, a better historian, and a better scholar. So I'm honored to be with you on this show today as you lift up a man who has meant so much to myself and so many thousands of people all around the world.
Well, it's interesting. When we did the promo, I was working with my graphics person, and I snatched out this quote from Dr. Clark. He said something to the effect, I only debate my equals. All others I teach. what that sort of characterizes Dr. Clark and his ultimate confidence in his knowledge and the way he was able to share that knowledge, but also to stand toe-to-toe with anyone on the academic stage or anywhere he went. We're now going to listen to an initial excerpt. This is not really from white nationalism, the enemy of black nationalism. This is from a speech that he made, which is entitled The Origins of Racism and Its Impact. But I thought it would be a good way of getting into the conversation as well. So we now want to hear excerpt number one from Dr. John Henry Clark.
Irony, and maybe this cycle, in a strange way, completes itself. Two Alabamians, one white, one black, both from poor sharecropper background, debating a paramount issue of race, debating about a subject that was really an invention, because nature created no races. Not only the word itself is artificial, but the tragedy around it is artificial. Now, if I say the tragedy is artificial, I cannot say the pain and the murder is artificial. You felt that, and that's real. I am saying, around a word that was totally unnecessary, and a situation that was invented, not only have people suffered, but the inventor has suffered misconceptions, and the inventor have cheated his own children out of the truth about history and the truth about how different people must relate to each other if we're going to have a world where man will walk with right. some kind of peace and right. some kind of dignity.
Right.
We keep calling for black history when really history has no color. We need to call for honest history. For all of the people of the earth. I do not believe in the concept of curricular inclusion. Because if you include me into a curricula that is wrong, it is like pouring clean water into a dirty glass.
That was Dr. John Henry Clark, talking about the origins of racism and its impact. And again, Dr. Jeffries was talking about his interface and intergaging with white scholars. And so in that particular clip, he's referring to a counterpart and their discussions about the origins of racism, but also talking about the way in which not only are those who are victimized by racism do the affected ones suffer, but it also there's a way in which those who propagate the myth of racism are also people who suffer. We're joined in this conversation, delighted to have Dr. Leonard Jeffries, of course, needs no introduction. He is our paramount chief of all things Pan-African. And of course, Tony Broder, who has again talked about the impact of John Henry Clark on his life, Dr. John Henry Clark. And he is doing some really, really incredible work. The only African-American who is actually engaged in the excavation of a tomb in Kemet, that is to say in Egypt. And it is, we've had him on before, it is some of the most amazing work that I've seen. Well, now we want to turn to our audience to get you involved, because this the purpose for our conversation, which we're going to be conducting with these two brilliant brothers, is to raise funds for WBAI. And our goal today is to raise $3,000. Now, I have admitted to the program director and the general manager and so forth, I don't consider myself good at raising money in this way. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, it takes maybe a certain set of skills that some people are great at it. And I like the way we're doing this, however. We no longer go a full month, you know, asking for money. We spread it out through different shows. And I think that's a better formula. And hopefully it is succeeding. But I do want to make a contribution through Vantage Point. That is to say, those who are listening today, my friends, allies, people who may be listening in for the first time. So what we've done today is look at a topic that we are seeing the manifestations of white nationalism right now. And so why not discuss it within the context of one of the greatest scholars that African people have ever produced, Dr. John Henry Clark. So therefore, our premium, we want you to have this premium. And if you already have it, as I always say, fine, get another one. Share it around. Get this knowledge out to all of our people so that you can be edified by it. And again, our premium is called White Nationalism, Enemy of Black Nationalism. As it takes with every pledge drive. First of all, I'm a WBAI buddy. WBAI buddies are those persons who make a minimum contribution, if they can afford it, minimum contribution of $10 a month, $120 a year, who have become sustaining contributors. I am one of those. I give more than $10 a month because I can afford to give more than $10 a month. And there are some of you who can give $50 or $100, whatever you can give, that is really appreciated. And in fact, the station is pushing us hard to get as many WBAI buddies as possible. But every pledge drive, without fail, I also make a contribution towards the objective. So today, I'm making a pledge of $300. In other words, I'm making a pledge of 10% of the total goal. I'm putting that on the line. And I'm asking, you know, our listening audience, that means we just need 27 more people to give $100 for this premium, and we will meet our goal for today. I hope we just blow up and go right through the roof. But, you know, I'm not going to be delusional. I mean, I, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe that will actually happen. Yes.
In honor of Dr. John Henry Clark, I see your $300.
Wow.
I pledge $300.
Right. Tony Broder, right here on the air. And by the way, Tony, I was going to talk about, because you are familiar with our affiliate in
WPFW.
Washington,
D.C.
PFW. In fact, at the top of the hour, they're bringing the news. We have a joint newscast. Tony Broder, thank you so much for that contribution. So we're off and running. So go to your phones, friends. We now have $600 already. And so 516-620-3602 is the number to call right now. There are volunteers who are taking their time out in order to listen into this conversation and this discussion. But also, we want you to get the premium. We want you to get the premium. And so it's 516-620-3602. Call that number right now. We have volunteers standing by to take your pledges. You can do it by credit card. You can do it by debit card. You can do it by check. You can make arrangements. You can do it in installments. There are different ways to do it. And our volunteers who take of their time to come and be of service because they know how valuable WBAI is. The whole Pacifica network is valuable. You can have in-depth conversations. Sometimes I look at the name mainstream news, and before I can blink, a major topic has been spoken to. You don't get no depth. You don't get any, and you certainly don't get any progressive analysis of much in depth. You might get, you know, some certain stages lean left, if you they so they say, or lean forward, or whatever they call it. But you don't get the kind of depth that we have here at WBAI. So go to your, thank you. I see the phones are beginning to 516-620-3602. We have volunteers. We should not have a single line that is not lit up. 516-620-3602. And as I always say, even if you don't get the premium, the real premium is the knowledge that you get on WBAI. You just heard a program just before that this came on talking about the COVID and all the different instructions about how you can take care of yourself and so forth. There are health programs. There are programs about art and culture and politics. There's a full range. But the main goal of all of this is a station and a network that is dealing with transformational change. We are not satisfied and will not be satisfied with America as is, nor was Dr. John Henry Clark. Nor was he. He was arming us and equipping us with the tools to make sure, as he talked about, that we can walk in peace. But we cannot walk in peace in the middle of white supremacy and racism and all of its manifestation. You cannot make peace with that. There can be no peace as long as we have white supremacy and institutional structural racism, domestic terrorism, all the things that are occurring, particularly as they have afflicted people of African descent, but other people as well, indigenous people, largely people of color across the world. And in some ways, you might even argue this capitalist political economy has also afflicted large numbers of white working class people who simply are unconscious or unwilling to admit or come to a realization that they are being exploited. In fact, some of them are often the people who become the leading recruits or advocates for white nationalism. So we're having a relevant conversation. We need you to support WBAI. That's the main objective. So 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602 is the number to call. Again, the premium is white nationalism, any of black nationalism, Dr. John Henry Clark. And we already have $600 in the till, so to speak. I started it off with $300. Tony Broder, one of our guests, has matched that. And so we are on our way, and hopefully we'll blow the roof off and just, like, you know, achieve much, much more than that. So we want to keep those phones ringing. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Now, if you want to become a WBAI buddy, tell them, I want to get the premium today. I want to do a combo. I want to do a John Henry Clark power pack combo. I want to become a WBAI buddy, and I want to get the premium. But you may say, I can't afford the premium, but I would like to become a WBAI buddy. In that instance, you just call them and let them know how much a month you can pay. If it's $10 a month, it's a minimum. By the way, you get a tote bag. You have, oh, there's this beautifully designed mask, by the way, protective gear that WBAI has also designed. So there's a lot that goes in this package. And then there are benefits that go with different consumers. I mean, you get a lot, really. You get a lot. The development department has done a great job trying to make this very attractive in terms of the benefits you get. But one of the things I keep saying is, because I'm baffled by why we have to get all these benefits. But I'm with the program. But I'm saying I'm for this because it's for us. It's like Dr. James Small once said, he was on my program one time. He said, look, this is a citadel for transformation. This is a citadel of resistance and transformation. I was talking to Dr. James Small the other day, and I reminded him that he said that. And I've used that in our fund drives over and over again because I think that is, in fact, the case. So just once again, and so you can just become a WBAI buddy. That's fine. And by the way, we appreciate any contribution you can make. If you can't do $100, if you can't get the premium, call anyway and say, today, I am giving $25. I am giving $50. I mean, give whatever you can. And if you can't give anything, we still appreciate you and love you anyway. But we know that there are thousands and thousands of people, even in these difficult times, there are people out there who still have the resources in order to plug in and actually make a contribution to the cause. So 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602 gets you in to our volunteers who are waiting for your call. Our goal today is at least $3,000, at least $3,000. I would like Vantage Point, to be listed as one of those programs that is contributing towards sustaining and building and strengthening WBAI. Well, let me just say also, we appreciate that clip. I have recruited a young, gifted, and black young woman who has agreed to be my production assistant. She's only 13 years old, so she's the one who actually got those clips. So I want to give a shout out to Zendel Pearson. You'll be hearing her name frequently because I'm recruiting her to work on Vantage Point here on WBAI. Well, I want to turn to our guest now to talk a bit about the overall subject, but that clip that we just heard. Again, my guests are Tony Broder. Tony Broder is he's doing some incredible work, and I'm going to ask him about that in a minute. But we introduced him. He had a whole lot. I just picked out one or two of his titles, founder and director of Cultural Resources and the ASA Restoration Project. And, of course, Dr. Leonard Jeffries is our paramount chief. I mean, he is the one who has put on the table the concept of before there can be liberation, we must liberate the African mind. And we all know that he talks about systems analysis. That is his calling card. For years, he has challenged us to use a systems analysis in order to resolve the problems of people of African descent globally. Tony, let me just come to you for a minute on a couple of accounts. Number one, because I also want to get into this topic just in terms of the work that you do. Tell us a little bit about the ASA Restoration Project, number one. And then secondly, Dr. Clark talked about true history or honest history. And you conduct tours. I've seen the videos of it. My wife, we know we sent a group down a few years ago. They went through it. I've never had the privilege yet of doing it. But you do these tours in Washington, D.C., which actually expose the degree to which there are things that are out there that people celebrate and are part of America, but people have never told the honest history about them. So there's two different things I want you to chat about with our audience. Number one, a little bit about the ASA Restoration Project, and then speak about those tours that you do.
Sure. Well, you pronounced it right the first time. It's the ASA Restoration Project, which was dedicated in honor of Asa Hilliard. Asa Hilliard was another giant among our scholars who was responsible for liberating the minds of so many African people. Dr. Hilliard, along with Dr. Clark and Dr. Jeffries, were the founding fathers, some of the founding fathers of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. And Dr. Hilliard died in Egypt at an ASCAC conference in Aswan, Egypt, in August of 2007. And so Dr. Hilliard's death came to us as a shock. And one of the things that I learned from Dr. Jeffries and Dr. Clark and Small and others is that we have an obligation and responsibility to honor our ancestors. And one of the ways that I chose to honor Asa Hilliard was to name this excavation project in his honor. So the Asa Restoration Project is 12 and a half years in the making. We are currently funding the excavation and restoration of three 25th Dynasty tombs. That's three tombs that are 2,700 years old of Kushite rulers, Kushite noblemen who lived, worked, and died on the in Luxor, Egypt. They are the first Kushite tombs in Egypt. So over the course of the past 12 and a half years, we've made a number of profound discoveries. Our last season was our best season to date in that we found four new tombs at our site. We now have a total of eight tombs that we are excavating and restoring. And, Brother Ron, the hallmark of the last season is we actually found a pyramidion. A pyramidion is the capstone of a pyramid, and it belongs to the occupant of one of the tombs that we are restoring, which validates our theory that these Kushite tombs also had pyramids atop them. So we found a pyramidion, and we're going to begin next season excavating the superstructure of this particular tomb to see if we can find the base or foundation of this pyramid. So that's the Asa Restoration Project. We're doing some grand work, and Dr. Clark has been one of my inspirations for doing this work. You mentioned our Egypt on the Potomac field trip. I made my first trip to Egypt in 1980 with Dr. Ben. In the month after I returned from Egypt with Dr. Ben, I met Dr. John Henry Clark. So I was primed. I was pumped. And I made my second trip to Egypt in 1985. And after returning to Washington, where I now reside, from that second trip to Egypt, I could see the fingerprints of ancient Egyptian architecture all over the landscape of Washington, D.C. And so in 1986, we created the Egypt, what is now known as the Egypt on the Potomac Field Trip, in which I have done a survey of the layout design of Washington, D.C., and showed that America's founding fathers literally incorporated elements of Nile Valley culture, primarily Kemet and Kush, in the layout of the capital of the wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history. And we visit specific sites where you can see with your own eyes the ancient Kemetic and Kushite fingerprint in Washington, D.C. So as I said, we've been doing this field trip annually since 1986. We've done over 500 of these field trips since that time. And it just reinforces the work of Dr. Clark, the work of Dr. Ben, the work of Dr. Jeffries and so many other scholars who taught us. As Dr. Jeffries said, I think the first time I met Dr. Jeffries in the mid-80s, he said, whoever controls the history of Egypt and the Nile Valley controls the history of the world. Mm. Those words have stayed with me, and I've done my part to help us gain a better understanding of Nile Valley civilization and its influences on world culture and civilization.
Wow. Yes, thank you so much, Tony Water, for sharing those thoughts, particularly against the backdrop of Dr. John Henry Clark talking about this false history. As Dr. Jay was talking earlier, I often, in some of my lectures, talk about Arnold Toynbee, David Basil Davidson. You know, you have good scholars, European scholars, and you have others who were themselves captured by and the perpetrators of white nationalism, and Arnold Toynbee was one, because he once said of all, so I'm paraphrasing, of all the races of humankind, he said, only the African has contributed nothing to world civilization. And I mean, what an absurdity. But you had people like that, and I would suspect that there were many, many more people who were in that camp than there were the Basil Davidson camp. Dr. J, you began, because we hear Dr. John Henry Clark talking about honest history, and he's talking about you can't just take, you know, the same old polluted ideas and put it into a new wineskin. You come up with some, you know, some poisonous concoction if you do that. And so I'm wondering, when you continue to talk to us, and you already began that in terms of what happened with the within the African Studies Association, eventually the founding of African Heritage Studies Association. But I'm wondering whether you would just continue to talk to us about how we defend, how do our people defend against the threat of white nationalism?
Well, clearly, I certainly want to let everybody know that we operate, so many of us, as a family. And that's often missed. But as our brother Tony Browder has just outlined, he was impacted by an elder like Dr. Clark. He was inspired by an elder like Asa Hilliard. And of course, the Nile was opened up to us by Dr. Ben. So we have to see our work as beyond the normal classroom process, but pulling the family together so we can do the serious work, generational work. And so I'm giving his doctorate. Dr. Browder, he has involved the family. His daughter has been in the Nile digging as a young lady. She's grown up with that, and he's related books in reference to the Nile and an understanding of that culture, so that he's not only dealing with the elder scholars like Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben, and the ones coming up after them, myself and Dr. Asa and my wife, Dr. Roslyn, but he's also showing how this knowledge has to be passed down through the generations and not be just a classroom exercise or a struggle in the newspapers over who was who and what was what. So I have to let our people know that just to have Dr. Anthony Browder in the space that we're dealing with is an enormous and wonderful linkage that Dr. Ron has, Daniels has been able to present to you. And so when we outline Dr. John Henry Clark, one of the loveliest, sweetest spirits that you can ever imagine, but so powerful in fighting for the truth. And he said, look in the white history books for some of your history. And that's what Schomburg had told him. And he says, continually dig up. Schomburg wrote an article, The Negro Digs Up His History. Well, the beautiful thing is that led to this great institution called the Schomburg, which is right there. You can be a part of borrowing materials from it and also reading biographies there. But Tony Browder's work has been to dig up the history. So it's not just an article from Schomburg that rings in my heart, but it's the fact that Tony has this genius in terms of architecture and building and whatnot. I think he reads the structures. When he's talking about the great works laid out in Washington in relation to our history, it's a part of him. He can look at a set of books and rocks, and when he takes you to the library in the Congress, the various libraries that are part of the U.S. archives, he brings it alive. So, and Dr. Clark did that. Dr. Ben would have us wanting to walk through those valleys of the Nile as if this history was our history. And this history would give us the strength to continue to fight the great struggle of miseducation and the destruction of minds as African people. So I'm just so glad that we have moved as a family, as Dr. Ron Daniels has, and some of the same people that we've crossed with, the Dr. James Turners, the Dr. Ron Walters. I call us the Four Musketeers, Dr. Ron Daniels, Dr. Ron Walters, Dr. James Turner, and Dr. Led Jeffries. But we extend it out to our world. And so it's the victory. Systems analysis, right, certainly, and pyramid analysis is necessary. But Dr. Clark, in this great book I have in my hand, is Africans are at the crossroads. Notes for an African World Revolution.
Right.
And that means you have to look at the world and study it, and then that will strengthen you. So I want our people listening to see us as an extended family that not only deals with our current development, but also deals with our ancestral development, and then we are doing it for the future.
Right.
And the door doesn't say, white folks, keep out. It says, come on in, but you're going to be surprised at what you're going to find.
That's right.
You've got to make an adjustment to that. So to see Tony do his thing, Dr. Ben do his thing, Dr. Clark, Dr. Asa, it's a love for the knowledge and the exposure. As Dr. Clark says here, the unfinished revolution of Nkrumah, of Lumumba, of Marcus Garvey, of our great brother Malcolm X.
Right.
And, of course, in Kenya, you had the great revolution among the Kikuyus. So Tom Oboye and Jomo Kenyatta. So they're not limiting us, but they're providing information for us to grow and pass it down through our cultures. And so I'm so glad that that we have the Institute for the Black World, 21st Century, which is one of the vehicles that Dr. Ron has been using. But there's a foundation for the Institute of the Black World, 21st Century. It is built on the Institute of the Black World, which Dr. Vincent Harding and others developed as a part of the struggle that King was involved in,
right,
in Atlanta.
Right.
In fact,
it's interesting because the book that Dr. Vincent Harding wrote, which I think is one of the most beautifully written pieces of history I've ever encountered, there is a river. So he talks about that, this continuous flow. There may be obstacles, there may be a rock, there may be a waterfall, but we are moving forward. There's this continuous, relentless, resistant flow of history moving forward. I need to stop here now and just pitch a little bit to get our audience back on track in terms of joining us in the premium. We have news coming up, a joint newscast coming up at 55. That's at 3:55. So I'm going to take the next few minutes before we break for that newscast to, in fact, talk about the premium for today. And how exciting I am to have with us Tony Broder. You've just heard about the incredible work that he's doing. And before, in our next my next segment, I'm going to ask them to give us information because you need to see this. The website has all kind of videos on it. When I go to Fraser Nation every year, Fraser Power Networking Conference, Tony does this. He just informs people, sweeps people off their feet, showing people this line of history, and then he shows the work that he's doing. And I got to tell you, it is so inspiring to be able to see what he's doing and to be associated with folks who are taking the mission seriously and translating. And as Dr. Jay said, he has his daughter working on it. To see her, you know, actually in the excavation pits and so forth, you know, she's learning and she's grasping and getting it is just utterly remarkable. So, and again, Dr. Jay, we know who he is and what he has meant to all of us for so many years. So our premium for today is white nationalism, enemy of black nationalism, and we're going to continue to talk about that. Indeed, one of the questions, the volume that Dr. J is referring to, talks about really some of the political dimensions. You know, this is culture, this is art. It all is about politics at one level. The whole question of defining and acquiring and maintaining and building out power, you know, for our development as a people. And so we want to talk about that as well. But the premium is white nationalism, the enemy of black nationalism. We have certainly seen white nationalism manifest itself. I mean, straight up, it is no longer hidden. We all know it's been there. But this assault on the Capitol of the United States of America, the Capitol built by black labor, right? Many of those monuments that Tony Broder is talking about were built by black labor, a city that still is not free, does not have its self-determination. Primarily because it is the residents, the people who live there are black people. They don't want more black power in terms of two Senate seats and representation and a governor and all those things. So we're seeing white nationalism right in front of us in a way that we've not seen more openly in this era. Now, we've seen it in the past, some of the Ku Klux Klan, the Knights of the White Chameleon, all of them, you know, these terrorist organizations, but they were kind of underground, but they're not underground anymore. And so we need to figure out how to deal with it. The premium is white nationalism, enemy of black nationalism. It's $100 for a contribution of $100. You get this gift of a three CD set. And we are, our goal is $3,000 or more, a minimum of $3,000. And we already have, just by virtue of the contributions already, we have $600. I started with a pledge of $300. Tony Broder graciously and kindly contributed $300 more. And we have others who...
Roslyn and I, Dr. Roslyn Jeffries and Leonard Jeffries, contribute four. That'll give us at least $1,000. And I can pass those tapes out to my nephew, Dr. Hassan.
We're up to $1,000 already. So we're really going to take the roof off today. And the operative term that Dr. Jeffries said that I often use is, if you already have the premium, get them again and pass them around. This is a toolkit as educational resources for our community. Don't sit on them. Don't let them keep moving them around. If I see Dr. J walking around, some of them books, the covers need to be patched up because he's using them all the time. He has to reorder new copies of them because he's constantly teaching. And that's what we need to do in terms of these premiums. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. That's the number where volunteers are waiting. And I'm sure, given the pledges that have been made on the air by these giants, you can match that. You can match that. We're just asking you for $100. $100 for the premium, white nationalism, enemy of black nationalism. I mean, I didn't recruit them on the air so they would do this. I mean, I'm surprised. I'm happy and I'm glad because they give so much to so many different causes. But Dr. J, Institute of the Black World, 21st Century, anytime something is coming up, he and Queen Rosalind are always there, always there. And sometimes I'd be on the phone the other day, was Dr. D, I said, Dr. J, we're not, don't worry about it. I'm going to make it. I mean, that kind of generosity of spirit, notion of Ujima, collective work and responsibility, of Ujima, cooperative economics, exemplifying that. And he talked about this as an extended family, how we are bonding together to move the agenda forward for the liberation of our people and ultimately all humankind, as long as humankind wants to act like humankind, because we are the givers, the first givers of life and civilization. We now know through the research of Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben Yacaman, and other Chair Akhtar Diop, we now know, not arrogantly, not with any sense of chauvinism, we know from whence comes the first life and civilization and the first civilizing influence. Call 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, in order to get your premium, white nationalism, any of black nationalism, $100. Let the phones, we don't want the phones to blow up. We now have to go to our news for the hour. And so I turn it over to our studio for the news.
For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. Yesterday, the United States reported just over 88,000 new cases of coronavirus, with over 1,200 deaths. That's the lowest one-day figure since Christmas Day, and the first time since early November that new daily U.S. cases have been below 100,000. A more contagious variant of the coronavirus, first found in Britain, is spreading rapidly in the United States, doubling roughly every 10 days, according to a new study. The report estimates this variant is 35 to 45% more transmissible than strains that have appeared earlier in the U.S. This study, posted online and not yet peer-reviewed, provides the first hard data to support a forecast issued last month by the CDC that showed the UK variant becoming dominant in the United States by late March. Florida stands out in the study as the state with the highest estimated prevalence of the new variant, followed by California. Coronavirus vaccines are known to prevent disease, but new evidence shows they may be effective at slowing transmission as well. A new study published last week from the University of Oxford shows that the coronavirus vaccine created by AstraZeneca substantially slows virus transmission. The study found a 67% reduction in positive swabs of vaccinated individuals, meaning two-thirds of those vaccinated were not only disease-free, but also incapable of transmitting the disease. Scientists say more evidence is needed before firm conclusions can be drawn about transmission, and say that continuing to practice social distancing after inoculation is crucial. Senior Democrats will unveil more details of President Joe Biden's COVID-19 relief plan today, which is expected to take sweeping measures against child poverty. The Democrats' bill would increase the child credit to up to $3,600 annually for each child under age 6, and as much as $3,000 for those up to 17. It's expected to help about 20 million lower-income families, with a goal to cut the child poverty rate in half. The House and Senate last week approved the legislation necessary to pass Biden's stimulus package through a process known as reconciliation, which only requires 51 votes in the Senate. The Senate is currently split 50-50, with Vice President Kamala Harris casting the tie-breaking vote. Members of the Chicago Teachers Union are slated to vote on a tentative agreement with Chicago Public Schools to return to classrooms as early as this week. Mayor Lori Lightfoot announced yesterday that the district had reached a potential agreement with CTU after weeks of negotiations. The deal, which will need to be ratified by the union's House of Delegates, will allow teachers and students to return to classrooms in the coming weeks. Under the terms of the new agreement, 1,500 CPS staffers are expected to be vaccinated each week under a new program devised during the collective bargaining process. An up or down vote by the union could happen as early as tonight. And in related news, CTU President Emerita Karen Lewis joined the ancestors yesterday. Karen Lewis helped spearhead the revitalization of the Chicago Teachers Union, helping lead over 25,000 educators in an historic 2012 strike that paved the way for a wave of teacher actions years later. CTU released a statement expressing condolences for her husband and surviving family, and described President Emerita Lewis as a fierce advocate who, quote, bowed to no one and gave strength to tens of thousands of Chicago teacher union educators who followed her lead and who live by her principles to this day, end quote. Rest in power, Karen Lewis. Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 36 degrees and sunny. In New York City, 31 degrees and mostly sunny. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Banger-Drowns. Thanks for listening.
We're back, and that's kind of a manifestation of it, right? That's the Isley Brothers version of we got to fight the power to be. We could have used Chuck D, but I'm old school rhythm and blues, so I thought I would go with Chuck with the Isley Brothers. But this whole notion that we have to fight the power that be, the whole notion of liberation theology, the whole notion of really being caught, you know, in a system which needs to be changed, and that we are the ones who must fight to change it, because we are the ones who have been most affected, along particularly with indigenous people, the First Nation people, is a very, very powerful concept. This is our special edition of Vantage Point, 2 hours today. Had to get used to that again. Haven't done a two-hour show in quite some time. I really appreciate, again, my young, gifted, and black production assistant, Zendel Pearson, just 13 years old, who is responsible for excerpting those clips from Dr. John Henry Clark and hopefully learning as she has been doing that. So she's going to be hanging out with Dr. D for a long time, because we need to mentor and to learn from, too, because they actually learn. I actually got to admit, they're teaching me a lot about social media and things that I have not been that conversant with. They're dragging me into the 21st century, but it's a good thing. Now, what we want to do is, we don't want to drag you. We want to encourage you to join with our guests today. And what a lineup we have with Dr. Leonard Jeffries, who's joining us in this conversation about white nationalism and white nationalism, enemy of black nationalism, as we're focusing on the iconic, the legendary grand teacher, master teacher, Dr. John Henry Clark. And I can remember just to hear him lecture conference after conference, meeting after meeting. He was just such a brilliant mind. I mean, my goodness, you'd leave there just so filled and so inspired and so encouraged and empowered. What a mighty, that piece that I forget the actor did, The Great and Mighty Walk. We've actually played that occasionally as well, because it was a great and mighty walk. We were encouraging you to joining in the process today, a liberating process, because knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. There's so often that we find ourselves in a situation of being exploited or being outmaneuvered because we don't know. That which you know, no one can ever take away from you. Knowledge is power. And the kind of knowledge that we are imparting today, we hope is incredibly valuable, but it is also lodged in the premiums that we have here at WBAI. There are some great premiums that are offered on the airways as gifts to those who are kind enough to listen in and to learn. But I also say, you know, you get a lot. And if you get a lot, you should give back. I mean, you know, you listen. There are people out there, and I'm talking to some of you out there right now. You have listened to WBAI for years, soaking up all this good knowledge, and but never occurring to you that, yeah, but it takes, you know, the bills have to be paid. The staff has to be paid. There's buildings, all kind of things. It is only sustained by we. It's community listener sponsored, not corporations, not foundation. I mean, this is community listener sponsored. We are the contributors. We are the donors we've been looking for. That's how it works. And that's why it's difficult, because, you know, it's hard. First of all, people don't like to ask for money. You know, you hate to ask, but we have to ask, because this citadel of resistance and transformation would not have existed for the last more than a half century and will not exist unless we are the ones who help it to exist. So in a way, it's kind of unfair for you to soak up all that knowledge if you have resources and not to give back. And we certainly appreciate those of you who time and time again give back. And as I go around, I can't move around now because of COVID, but I can remember bumping into people on the street or at a rally and say, oh, Dr. Daniels, I am a WBAI buddy, a proud WBAI buddy. And that's what we need, people to be proud. And by the way, nothing is perfect. There are difficulties and knots and warts and things that people are working out and this kind of stuff. But, you know, hey, these things pale in comparison to the power of what we have in our hands and the influence of having something that can galvanize. I just talked about the whole question of this rally coming up, the issues that are going on in Ethiopia. And Dr. J is a part of the Pan-African Unity Dialogue. He knows that we discuss the great issues that are going. What's happening with Bobi Wine in Uganda? We're talking about what's going on with Museveni and his machinations, and what's happening in Nigeria, some issues that we talk about the diaspora and the connection to the Pan-African world through the Pan-African Unity Dialogue. And Dr. J is always there helping us to do that. And by the way, through this medium, this station, you know, I'm involved very much with reparations. Well, you know, there have been times when the actual reparations gatherings have been broadcast live here on WBAI. We had a national emergency summit on gentrification broadcast live here on WBAI. And by the way, also on WPFW, the station that Tony Broder relates to in Washington, D.C. That's the value. See, I don't know how to pitch. I don't know how to say nothing but tell the truth. That's all I know how to do. It's just to tell you what it is, and then I hope people understand it and act accordingly. So that's what we're urging people today as we go for this goal of $3,000 plus. And hopefully we get some WBAI buddies. It would be great also if we got 10 WBAI buddies today, people who are sustaining contributors. I am one. You know, it's $10 a month as a minimum. And you could get much more than that if you choose to do so, and if you can afford to do so, and you should. And that's simply by calling again, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Our two guests will do likewise, because the way in which they will validate their pledge, they'll call their number, they'll take down their information and figure out how to make the contributions that they're going to make. And Tony Broder has made a contribution of $300. Dr. J and Dr. Rosalind Jefferson have given $400. I have pledged $300. That's $1,000 right there. So we should be like, we need to raise the roof here. I mean, you know, this is like incredible. I'm so grateful that our guests would chip in like this. And that's not unusual when guests come on. They usually chip in as well. So 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. And we do appreciate those who have been calling in. We really do. We appreciate you calling, but we really want to get to this goal. We want to make it. We want to get there in fact, make this work. And it was pointed out to me, Wesley Snipes is the actor and bad brother who did The Great and Mighty Walk. He did this as a benefit. Love Dr. Clark and so many others who have been influenced by him. So again, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. The rationale is clear. We need to not only maintain WBAI and sustain it, we need to build it out, give it, make it stronger. More WBAI buddies, more contributions. And I must say, you know, there was a time when we'd have straight pledging, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. That doesn't happen anymore. You know, we have regular programming, and then, like, I do three shows, and one of my shows is then, you know, is used to do fundraising. That's great. Which means that I can still program. I can still do the best I can to bring you the best possible programming that I can bring. And I think that's a marvelous way. But embrace, if you like that idea, endorse it. Give the station managers and the program, give them a vote of confidence. A vote of confidence that this is something that's working. So go to your phones right now, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. And you may say to folks, I want the premium, and I want to become a WBAI buddy for whatever amount you want. And maybe you just want to become a WBAI buddy. That is fine. And maybe you can just say, look, I'm giving $25 today. That's what I can do, and I'm delighted to do it. I want to be helpful, but I can't afford. That's all I can afford. And we love you for that, because, you know, again, we are the donors. We are the contributors that we have been looking for in terms of making this work. So I'm glad that those who have been calling, we're going to be at this a while longer. But I now want to go back to our special guests who are here to help have this conversation. Again, Tony Broder is the director of, the founder and director of Cultural Resources, and also of the ACER Restoration Project. And you heard about that, and also the Nile Valley tours that he takes that are just unbelievable. And of course, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, our paramount chief, our master teacher, our global Pan-Africanist. Want to engage them for our final interview, because I'm going to let them loose, and we're going to hear some more Dr. John Henry Clark, and then I'm going to be James Brown all by myself doing please, please, please. So y'all get ready for it. Anyway, I want to go back to you, Dr. J, and you were, because I think now I want to talk about the whole issue of, again, defending. How do we defend against white nationalism? How should it be actualized, our defense, both in terms of culture, education, and economic development? And I'm reminded that, you know, we're talking about black nationalism, you know. The question becomes, if the defense is black nationalism, then how do we make that real in terms of the concrete work that we're doing? And I know you were making reference to, again, Dr. John Henry Clark's book in which he talks about the crossroads. So if you would be so kind as to start us off on this last piece.
Well, certainly. With Dr. Clark, the great thing that he left for most of us was that you need to master the history of African peoples, but that can't serve you the way it should if you have not mastered the history of the world. And so he did not say close your door and prevent anything coming from the Asian world or the European world. He said master it and then use it, because you've got to save African peoples. Can African peoples save themselves? That was a question that he asked. And he was sure once you were able to have an African mind and an African mission, that you could handle this unfinished revolution that he let us know about, that Nkrumah and others and Malcolm and had their mission, but it's been in complete because of the systems of domination, destruction, and death that are a part of what we have to deal with. And if you do not have your mind and growing that mind, and you are going forth with the mind that the European planted in you, you're in trouble. Like Steve Biko, Malcolm X of his time in South Africa, said the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. And so in the 70s, when he was getting inspired by the earlier work of Malcolm X, Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz, he mobilized the youth, the ANC and other adult organizations, revolutionary struggles, were having their difficulty and were exiled out of South Africa. But Steve Biko had the young people to work with, and he gave his life in that struggle. He had his brain bashed out of the brain cage. That was their way of saying, this is going to be the death that you're going to have. And then he rose, his spirit rose again, and the youth rose up, and the young people fought. And so clearly, when I use that phrase, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed, and I edited a book on South Africa, and I made that point very strongly. But we can add that the most potent weapon in the hands of the liberator is the mind of the oppressed. So you've got the liberation movement that Dr. Clark had was not for personal aggrandizement or not for making money. He sacrificed. He gave money. He took us to Ethiopia to meet Emperor Haile Selassie. In 72, we were taken to the World Conference in England, and the years before, he took us to challenge the African Studies Association. But he said, build your own institution, your own organization, expand what you have to do. Do not turn your back to the white nationalism. White domination is very real. You need to master it, but put your formations together organizing your people, dealing with your ancestors, and coming up with a plan. One of the young people that worked close with Dr. Clark, he was not a young person. He grew out of Mississippi, and then he went on to Atlanta. And so he got the benefit of the powerful education at Morehouse College, and then he came on to New York, and he had to deal with the Jesuit systems in Fordham and St. John's. But he grew through that process, and he left us with what we have to do, a blueprint for Black power. And that's what Dr. Ron Daniels and his legions of people that he's organized and mobilized, we have to develop a blueprint for Pan-Africanism. And Dr. Amos was one of the most brilliant people coming out of the miseducation of the South and the bitterness that that education could have caused. But the positive thing was to put in place a positive program for your people's growth and development and your personal growth and development. Then you would be contributing to this sweep of history that the Dr. Clarks and the Dr. Benns and the other great ancestors, including the sister, Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, and our most recent person, wow, very close to Aunt Anthony Browder, Dr. Pat Newton, and so Sigmet. So it's a family affair, and we will prevail as we move into that, passing the things on to our young people who need it to continue to grow and build.
Right. Tony Browder, your thoughts in terms of the work that you do and how you see the landscape of building out really Black nationalism as a counter to white nationalism.
I think one of the most important components in building a society that is attuned to Black nationalism is to develop the consciousness of Black people. As we talk about Dr. Clark, I want to add my voice to some of the other people that Dr. Clark introduced us to. Dr. Clark was instrumental in bringing the works of Sheikh Anta Diop into our awareness. And it was Sheikh Anta who was considered to be the pharaoh of Egyptological studies, said that for us to return to the Nile Valley and reclaim Kemet as a part of Africa was essential to us restoring our minds and finding our proper place in the world. And that is so critically important because the white power structure understood what Dr. Clark represented. They understood what Sheikh Anta Diop represented and Teofilo Obinga when they went to the Cairo Symposium in 1974, that if we reclaimed Egypt as a part of Africa and not a part of the Middle East, then we will be able to continue the work of Dr. Ben and reclaim the entire Nile Valley. And it is there where we will find all of the elements that document not just the birth of humanity itself, but the birth of culture and civilization and all of those things that stand for the creation, the establishment of a great culture, architecture, engineering, medicine, science, philosophy, all of that is there. And so it's so critically important that we do, as Brother Asa Hilliard advised us to do, to return to the source. And we drink from the wellspring of knowledge that can be found in the Nile Valley. And then we nurture the development of our children so that they can continue this great and mighty walk. So it's a process that has been generations in the making. It's a process that has to be passed along for generations so that ultimately there will be enough African people grounded in an African-centered consciousness where all we need to do is change our minds.
Right.
Change our minds in a moment, and we will change the world. And that's where all of this is leading us up to.
Mm. It's interesting, too, because the Father of Black History Month also made a similar observation. He said something to the effect of, he who controls minds has nothing to fear from bodies. And it's interesting, too, that people like Rudyard Kipling and others, as you look at how the colonizer worked, it was really colonizing the mind. It was the Europeanization, the Eurocentric educational process. So that, you know, I mean, to the degree that people went to these European institutions and schooling and so forth, it was like, you know, I mean, obviously there was spirit, there was resistance and so forth and so on that took place. But it was, if you can control the mind, is the point that is being made, then you're not going to resist oppression. You will be, in fact, you may even cooperate with the oppressor because your mind has been totally, you know. And so Carter G. Woodson, we owe him a big shout out for the work that he also did in this regard. I want to just conclude with both of you with just maybe your observation on Elhaj Malik El Shabazz, because Malcolm X, you know, and was an avowed black nationalist, unapologetically, right? And he talked about defining black nationalism. He said black nationalism is only controlling the politics and economics and social lives of our community. So Dr. J, I know you mentioned earlier the whole thing of then how do you then take the mind and then utilize it to operationalize systems that defend against white nationalism, white supremacy, institutional and structural racism, at least to give a basis for that. And it seems that Malcolm was very much inspired by that. And I'm wondering the degree to which even he was influenced by Dr. John Henry Clark, because he certainly came out, you know, we need to control the stores, the politicians, the hospitals, the, you know, the politics, economic, the educational system. He said, we should be controlling the institutions in our community. Dr. J, your thoughts?
Well, certainly you've hit a point, a very serious point. Malcolm has an interesting history, and change and transformation is a part of that history. And Malcolm X, Elhaj Malik El Shabazz, has a foundation that his mother and father were Garveyites.
Yes.
The mother from the Caribbean, the father from here, they were Garveyites. And the interrelationship between the tradition of Marcus Garvey, that 1945 conference of the Pan-Africanism, in which a couple hundred of African people came together from the key parts of our world to plan a strategy, Dr. Clark knew that that's where we needed to go, and we had to go. So Malcolm X, Elhaj Malik El Shabazz, when he eventually made his second pilgrimage to Mecca, and when he came back from Mecca, he saw a larger world. And coming back from Mecca also meant that he went to Cairo on the way back, and there was an initial meeting of the African, what we're referring to as the African Union now, and it was changed a few years ago, but it got started in 1963 as the OAU, the Organization of African Unity. And Malcolm, seeing the role that the Africans in the diaspora could play, he decided to form an organization called the OAAU, the Organization of Afro-American Unity. And Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben were part of the brain trust that he used to prepare this new dimension in his life. So Malcolm is a person that we really need to study from deep family roots, and then his eventual transfer, a quick life in Harlem and Detroit Red, et cetera. But he's an example of transformation and the greatness that it has and the impact it has. Certainly the people I've grown up with, including my wife, she used to listen to his presentations on 116th Street and Lenox. She lived on 115th Street between Lenox and Fifth. And so Malcolm's growth and change and transformation was a part of the world that Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark and others have laid out for us, and that other greats have followed. So that Dr. Clark was, he was just a gentle spirit, but he was serious, and he gave me orders. He said, look, you speak French, you studied in Europe, you've got to take, and you've spent you know the work of Sheikh Anta Diop. You've got to take time off from trying to build a Black Studies Department and African nationalist structures. You've got to take time off and go to back to Europe and translate Sheikh Anta Diop's work.
Right.
And so I actually did. And I, right. after 2 years with the work that we were doing in city, I felt I could leave. And so, but it was such a difficult work. Eventually, I got money for Yalenge, who completed the translation. And but that Dr. Clark knew how to give orders, knew how to follow and encourage you to follow it up with other activities. So I didn't get frustrated and say, this is too deep for me, all of the scientific ologies and whatnot in French. You know, I said, that work has got to be completed. And so in Dr. Ben's office on 125th Street, I met this brother, Yalenge from the Congo. And I was able to get $25,000 from the Black United Front, Kermit Edie's first
yes.
to me to give to Yalenge to get the work completed. So there's a connectedness, a connectedness that we really need to appreciate in terms of the great struggle we've waged against these systems of death and destruction.
Right, and then what the Black United Front is, what an incredible structure that was and is. And you bring a dear friend, Kermit Edie, into the picture. Tony Broder, your final thoughts in terms of Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz and Malcolm X and what he contributed to this overall notion of you know, building institutions that could be utilized to resist white nationalism.
Well, to add to what Dr. Jeffries was saying about the relationship between Dr. Clark and Malcolm, that Dr. Clark was part of his brain trust. From what I remember Dr. Clark saying, that he was responsible for helping pull together information on Africa whenever Malcolm was about to give a speech or do an interview. So he was part of shaping his memory and giving him a foundation upon which he could defend African people in the media and in society. And Ron, you mentioned the film, John Henry Clark, A Great and Mighty Walk. I remember a very poignant scene in that film was when Dr. Clark talked about he was preparing to give a lecture in Connecticut when he got news that Malcolm died. And he said he cried like a baby and composed himself and gave the address that he was paid to address. And then as he was reflecting on Malcolm, he said that Malcolm told him to always do his best work. And Dr. Clark says in a very poignant moment, I was a good teacher when I met Malcolm. But after meeting Malcolm and working with him, I became a better teacher.
Wow.
And that's the lesson, to take what you have and make it better. And have that serve as a model for everyone in your community. So Malcolm was that to us. He was our Black Shining Prince, as Ozzie Davis said. And Dr. Clark was our Black Shining King. And so we come from royalty. And that's just not lip service. We come from royalty. We are royalty. It is in our blood. It is in our DNA. So our biggest challenge, our biggest obligation, is to take the time to study and to know ourselves and to demonstrate to the world how proud, regal, powerful African people are to move through society, showing the world what it is that African people have done and what it is African people will always do. That's the legacy for me, Ron.
Right. Well, Attorney Broder, please give people a website, email address, or whatever, so they can visit your overall work, but particularly the ASA Restoration Project. Or I just want people to be able to connect with you. So would you kindly just give out the information?
Sure.
People are eagerly listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, the best way people can connect into what we're doing, our field trips, our presentations, study tours, Egypt, the excavations, is to go to our website, which is www.ikg-info.com. That's ikg-info.com.
Okay, do it one more time.
www.ikg-info.com. I'll be doing a webinar this coming Friday, at 7 p.m. It's free. You can register at our website, and we'll continue this discussion about our scholars, our history, and our future.
www.ikg-info.com.
Yes, sir.
Right. Dr. Jay, any virtual lectures coming up from you? And by the way,
I talked to James Smalls
about you the other day. I know you're 84 years old and still frisky and all that, but you don't need to be shoveling no snow and doing all that kind of stuff. You got people out here taking care of you. Brother Charles is doing a great job, so we got to slow you down, brother. You don't need.
Born in January, so I'm used to that weather, but just before I did this show, I stepped out on my porch and almost broke my butt because it's all ice. And so
no, that's why you got to be careful, Dr. J. We don't need no.
I was.
No. I mean, it's like the brother said, if I must die, let me die fighting back. We don't need no. We don't. I want to die a glorious death, not some. I slipped on the porch.
But the beautiful thing is, the area that we live in Teaneck, which is a few blocks from where Marcus Garvey Jr. lives, it is an African village. The people watch out for each other. They will come out and say, Dr. Jeffries, we'll be right over there. Don't you be
right, I know. I'm just joshing
that's
you.
That's the beauty of it. But what I would like our people to tap into, and Dr. Clark would be very proud of what we've done, and, of course, Dr. Browder has made his linkages, and he's plugged into this too. We have a young fellow who got interested in the Nile, and he's hooked up with other young folks, and they've created the HAPI Project, H-A-P-I, and you can get in touch with it. HAPI is the original the name of the Nile Valley, but HAPI, H-A-P-I, film.org, or .com, and they have weekly or every couple of weeks, these enormous forums that people can tap into and grow. And so I did get a chance to go to Nubia with HAPI and with our brother who is directing it. And it was a wonderful experience. And I going many times to Egypt was one thing, but going to the Nile added another, going south into Nubia added another dimension. And so Haki, this young man, has mobilized others, and they're creating a big storm in terms of putting the information out there for our people to grow with. So,
okay, now spell it out again for me. Is it H-A-P-I?
H-A-P-I.
Film.
Film.
.com. All right. Okay, because I'm going to announce that a couple of times because we want people to spread out and so forth. Let me thank both of you, Tony Broder, for your gifts of both knowledge and sharing, and also to you, Dr. J. I can tell you that I'm getting messages that several people are responding, and we're going to be announcing their names. They've agreed to let us announce their names on the air. So you are motivating people to contribute to WBAI. We thank you so much for so doing. And obviously, we'll be working together and down the road a piece because we're all connected in one way or another, pushing this work forward. So Tony Broder, thank you so much. Dr. J, thank you so much for spending time with us and making this conversation and this fundraising edition of Vantage Point a success.
Thank you, Ron. You stay safe and keep up the magnificent work, my brother.
All right, thank you.
And power to your partners so she can continue to do her great work and make sure that you're on the case.
I will definitely do that. All right, okay. Yes. Let me just say that I am so appreciative, and people can continue to call, but people are responding, and they are giving us permission to say so. A longtime friend of IBW, the Haiti Support Project, I happen to know this person personally, Zenobia Lewis, has given us permission to shout out her name. She is Prompt the Premium, the white nationalism, the enemy of black nationalism, a C3 CD set by Dr. John Henry Clark. Also, Damon Porter of Brooklyn has also taken the premium. We thank Damon, thank you so much. Zenobia, thank you so much. Damon Porter, Brooklyn, thank you so much. Also, we have Sydney Desmore. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. D-E-S-M-O-R-E, Ridgefield, New Jersey. He has also been kind enough to purchase the premium for today. And then we have, as I said before, just make a donation if you can make a donation. And Gus, we thank you, Gus. Gus Raynor, who just called in and said, look, I'm making a donation of $25. We thank you so much, Gus, for your donation of $25. Then we have Bill Davis calling from Piscataway, has also purchased the premium White Nationalism, Enemy of Black Nationalism, three CD set that had all this great information in it. And then others are calling in, but Marina Santjago, J-A-J-A-J-A-G-O, she's from Manhattan. Let me see where, Manhattan, and has been so kind to make a donation of $50. Thank you so much, all of you who have made your contributions. Others can continue to do so. We really, really want to, make this $3,000 plus today. And we are so thankful of all the volunteers who are there, who are also, there helping to receive your pledges. We've had a great conversation. I hope you enjoyed the conversation we had, because we didn't just ask for the money, if so to speak. We also, shared a conversation about why white nationalism, Indian black nationalism is important, why the work of Dr. John Henry Clark is important, how that work has been spread through so many people who have also picked up that work and who are utilizing that work, right down to the this brother Haki with the Happy Project, Happy Film, HAPIfilm.com. Go to that website and check it out. You got to go see the work of Tony Broder, www.ikg-info.com. You will be blown away by the work that Tony Broder is doing. Amazing work that is doing, an inspiring work. And what we're asking you to do, and Dr. J mentioned this, and others have indicated the same. If you already have the premium, White Nationalism, Enemy of Black Nationalism, purchase another copy and give it away. Dr. J is going to get like four. He's getting four today. He got four. Tony Broder is going to get three. And so Dr. J said, look, I'm going to spread this around. I'll give them to young people. I'll give it to others who need. So you can have that information. Information is power. And that's what you get on WBAI. You are empowered by the audience. You're empowering because of the knowledge you share. We have the most politically sophisticated, politically sometimes contentious too, but that's good. Audience, in the country and in the world, because if we are contentious, it is contentious about how do we change the world? How do we change the world for the better? How do we get rid of this racialized capitalism and these systems of oppression? How do we get rid of them? And how do we build a different kind of world? That's what we're about. That's what we're doing. And that's why really the real gift is WBAI, that we have it. And I'm telling you, you look at some of these newscasts and it's like a joke. You get like a lick and a promise, like we used to say, the old folks used to say in the black community. Before you know, you get no depth. You get breadth and depth on WBAI. Breadth and depth. The conversation we just had, 90 minutes. We pitched in between, but a good, solid, at least 40 minutes or so of deep conversation with two of the great minds in the African world, Tony Broder and, of course, Dr. Leonard Jefferies out there. And so that's what you get on WBAI. That is the gift that keeps on giving. The question is, will you give back? Some of you out there who probably have never, ever given before, I'm asking you, if you can't give $100 if you can't get the premium. Do as the two people I already called, and they just made a donation. They just gave a donation, matched those donations. One person came in and gave $25. Another person gave $50. Match that those donations. What if we had another 10 people to give $25? What if we had another 10 people who gave $50? Just call and say, I appreciate what I've heard. I appreciate WBAI, and I am making a donation today of whatever amount in order to support WBAI. And we appreciate you doing it through Vantage Point. And again, you can become a WBAI buddy. What is a WBAI buddy? A WBAI buddy, and those of you who have nonprofit organizations or any organization, you know how this works. It's great when you know that you have a certain amount of income coming in. That's called a sustaining contributor. We do that with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. We're trying to get a number of sustaining contributors. We have a brother who has given IBW since 2001, $10 a year. And so we have named a category of giving after him. And we're trying to build up as many as possible, because that way you know how to budget. You know how to operate, because you know you got sustaining contributors. $10. If you can afford just $10 a month, that's $120 a year, call 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. And tell them, I want to be counted in the number. I want to become a proud WBAI buddy. They'll do it by credit card. All of these contributions, by the way, they'll make arrangements, credit card, debit card, checking account, savings account. Make arrangements. They will hook it up for you. Installment plan. We will make it work. 516-620-3602. We're going to go to another, our final clip. And keep those, thank you so much. Keep those phones ringing, 516-620-3602. And please let them know whether or not we can announce your name on the air. We'll try to get as many in before we go off the air. We want to hear our final, the third and final clip, the actual voice of the great Dr. John Henry Clark.
In Africa, certain groups who lost wars did serve periods of servitude to other groups. But that servitude did not last forever. After a period, they went out of servitude. Then the people in servitude had certain basic and guaranteed rights. And sometimes the royal family of the conquered group married into the group that had conquered them and became head of the very house that had conquered them. So there was some basic consideration between the conquered and the vanquished. And basic consideration between the people, one and the other. And sometimes there was a merger between one culture and the other, and they became one people. There was one people like the Musi people in what is called the Upper Volta, now called Burkina Faso, which makes far more sense than Upper Volta. If you can't understand either one of them, don't worry about it. Burkina Faso, even though you do not understand it, makes more sense, but Upper Volta don't mean nothing. Just a word that the French gave it, because they couldn't understand, they couldn't understand that this was the home of the Musi people, the home of the Ouagadougou people, and they couldn't understand the word Ouagadougou didn't run smoothly off with the French tongue. So they said Upper Volta. And they called the country Upper Volta. I'm glad when the nationalists came to power, they gave the country a name that was local. And whether people understand it or can pronounce it is another matter. It's no significance. It's Africa. Whatever it means. Now, the Musi people, now here's a case of black nationalism in its finest. In ancient times, they were called the Africa, the cultural chastity belt of Africa. When they conquered people, they extracted labor. They never permitted the conquered people to marry into that group. And if you live among them and wanted a wife, they gave you time to go back to your group and get a wife. They did not want that bloodstream to be polluted by anybody, not even another African. And they did not want that religion to be polluted. They didn't accept Islam, didn't accept Christianity either. Very careful about what other African religions they accepted.
Again, the voice of Dr. John Henry Clark. Really talking about, which is something that needs to be studied more, the actual ways in which enslavement or a system of servitude in Africa was different. And by the way, my own view on that is this is not to glorify it, but it is to say that only in the United States of America actually did you have human beings actually reduced to property. In a system, a body of law that was created for that purpose called chattel slavery, a whole body of law that was created. The so-called peculiar institution where families could be ripped apart and taken apart. Even among native indigenous people, you found when and some of them had a system of servitude, but you could meld in, and eventually you could become a part of the nation. You could become a part of that ethnic group. And as Dr. Clark said, in some instances, in some African nations, you could actually rise to positions of prominence and power. So it's again, nobody, in my view, we don't want to, you know, the issue of servitude is not one to be commended. But on the other hand, it is to talk about the viciousness, the utter dehumanization that you see within the whole system of in Africa that evolved and developed. When am I having technical difficulties here? And I'm not sure I'm still being heard.
You still heard?
Oh, okay. All right. I was watching I have a little monitor there, and it usually shows it's bouncing up and down. So I thought maybe I was bouncing out. I thought it was getting a little too hot. Anyway, we only got a few more minutes left here. So we really, really want to close this out. We are so thankful for the audience that tuned in, the people who have been calling in and have given us the permission to say their names. Let's close it out strong. Again, the number to call in order for you to make your pledge is 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. We were blessed that Dr. Leonard Jeffries made a donation of $400. I started it off with $300. Tony Broder matched that with $300. We had several people who've called in inspired by the program and committed who have also made donations. We've read some of those off. Others may choose to do so now. Call 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. We have volunteers. Thank you so much. We have people who are waiting by the phones right now. Let's light those phones up right now with your contributions. 516-620-3602. The premium is White Nationalism, Enemy of Black Nationalism. It is $100. $100 if you can afford it. And we appreciate it if you can. $100 will get you that premium. And again, if you already have it, just share it with someone else. Make it a part of your toolkit. Either give it away to someone, donate it to someone, or have people, once we're able to get back together again, you know, to have, you know, chat and choose and conversations and just learn. And I guess you can even do it virtually, because you can just, you know, you can just play and have virtual conversations as well. 516-620. Come on. Oh, we're slowing down. Come on. 516-620-3602. volunteers away. We have empty lines. We shouldn't have any empty lines. They should be full. Thank you. 516-620-3602. The premium, white nationalism, enemy of black nationalism. We have just talked about in so many ways the origins of racism, the way in which racism came about, and white nationalism, how it emerged and how it has manifested itself in American society. We didn't talk so much about the sort of the contemporary things. We all have seen that, but we're talking about how do we defend ourselves by developing our own institutions and our own ways of thinking. And Dr. Clark himself saying, this is really not just about, it's about all of humankind. It's about honest history, an honest history that will also liberate all of humankind. He talked about the fact that, there were historians, Basil Davidson among them, whom he collaborated with, because they were talking honest history, as opposed to someone like Arnold Toynbee, who was talking imperialist history, either out of ignorance or out of a desire to, in fact, colonize and to destroy African people. And I know from some of my own research that there were people who often were doing this who knew better, who knew better. They knew of the great civilization. They knew of the great contributions of African people. They decided to create the myth of race and the myth of racial inferiority and superiority as a rationale and justification for one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Holocaust in human history. And really, as we look at the United States of America, America, as Langston Hughes said, will never be America to me until we have actually purged white supremacy, white nationalism, domestic terrorism from the system of this country. And only then, as Dr. John Henry Clark said, people will be able to live as human beings in peace. That's what's on the table. That's what our discussion was about today. And what a wonderful, wonderful discussion it was. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you will respond. We've slowed down, folks. Come on, please. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Become a WBAI buddy. We need lots of them. $10, just $10 will enable you to be a WBAI buddy. $120 a year. Again, credit card, debit card, savings account. You can put it on your, they'll work out an installment plan if necessary with you. They're there to help. We have volunteers there to help. But the main thing is the premium for today. But beyond that, if you just want to call and make a donation, and we're thankful for those of you who did call and just made a donation, we really appreciate that. And we appreciate you permitting us to put your name, allowing us to say your name on the airways. Again, we just have about 2 minutes left, and we want to get, we still got some open lines. Give us a call, please, at 516-620-3602. Just want to, again, talk about the horrific crisis in Tigray region of Ethiopia. Big demonstration coming up on this Thursday, February 11th, 10 a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. It is being organized by the friends and organizers from the Tigray Tri-State, Coalition. So we want you to join that effort if you can, to go out and be supportive and get the information and then, help to end the kind of genocide that is taking place there. Quickly, the email address for that is contact at tristategaru.org. Got that out there. Got a minute left. Also want you to be about the business of connecting with Tony Broder. You can do that by calling website www.ikg-info.com. And of course, the project Haki is doing, happy, H-A-P-I films.com. Got to go off the airways now, folks. Got to make room for the news. Keep calling. Please keep calling. Keep piling up those contributions. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Again, the premium, white nationalism, enemy of black nationalism. $100 gets you that premium. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniel signing off. Thank you to my assistant, Zendel Pearson, and we'll see you again here next week. on Vantage Point.